We hope you enjoy this recording of a live broadcast brought to you via the ETIM Network, the online, live, interactive division of Torah in Motion. For more learning opportunities, please visit www.torahinmotion.org.
Good morning to everyone and Shavuot Tov. It's a pleasure to be back on the ETIM Network and looking forward to a year of learning with everyone. If you're unable for any reason to hear me or see me, please remark to that effect in the chat box so that the technical support can help you. Our purpose in meeting this morning is to prepare ourselves for Rosh Hashanah, which comes upon us, as of course, tomorrow evening. And as we all know, the main purpose of Rosh Hashanah is to awaken us to Malchut Hashem, to the kingship of God. And we make many changes in our liturgy to accomplish this task. We change the recurrent phrase Ha'el HaKadosh to HaMelech HaKadosh. We change from the phrase Melech Ohev Zakal Mishpat to Melech HaMishpat. And in other places we discuss the transcendency of God as King over the world. Even in the Kaddish, we change Le'ela to Le'ela, Le'ela, how God is transcendent above all possible praise. And this awareness that God is King over all, is King over all life, the people of Israel and the rest of the people of the world and all that lives, everything that exists, is King over everything, is the source of our belief in the oneness of God and in His control of the world. The question arises, however, what on earth is Malchut Hashem? When we talk about the kingship of God, is that a spiritual concept that exists somewhere in our minds, in our hearts, or is it a real concept that is supposed to be translated into something on earth in the physical world? And sometimes our own preconceptions get in the way of our understanding this question. Because most of us, since we're speaking in English, we have all grown up in Western culture where the concept of divinity is, by definition, something unconnected with the physical world. As it were, the physical world is considered to be corrupt and evil, and therefore it requires redemption from that corruption and that evil. But the physical world certainly is never seen to be a basis for an actual kingship, a spiritual kingship of God. Rather, we have a tendency to see God, and we teach our children to see God as something completely separate from the physical world, that God is completely non-corporeal, He's outside of and above time and space, and of course all that is true. But the question is, what then do we really mean by Malchut Hashem? Now, when we look in the Torah Shebichtav, there is no way for us to determine exactly what the Torah intends, because as in every other subject, the Torah Shebichtav speaks in very measured tones. It doesn't explain itself. It gives us very terse headlines for what it wants to say. And often, we come away from studying the sources about a given topic in the Torah Shebichtav with the feeling that the Ikar is chaser min hasefer, that the main messages, the main ideas that we're trying to understand are somehow missing from the book. And what we're trying to do is accomplish something which can only be done through tradition, through oral tradition. Because only in the oral tradition of Am Yisrael and the Torah Shebaal Peh, we have an ongoing and unbroken transmission of what the Jewish people understood the Torah to be saying. And it is only on that oral tradition that we can depend. We certainly will not accept the Protestant approach of sola scriptura, that all we have is the physical text, the written text, and that we'll rely only on our understanding of the written text to understand what God means. This would be absolutely unthinkable to a Jew. Because for us, the very sanctity of the written Torah comes, as it were, from the Jewish people, not the other way around. The Jewish people are not holy because they have the Torah. The Torah is holy because the Jewish people accepted it. And holiness is found in the Jewish people itself. That's why, for instance, the holidays are become sanctified by the action of Am Yisrael through its Beit Din, through the High Court, etc. And really, the structure is that God has sanctified the Jewish people, and the Jewish people then sanctify time and space, and even literature. And therefore, what we need to do is go back to the literature of Chazal and understand how was it that they understood the concept of Malchut Hashem. For them, what on earth was Malchut Hashem? And this is what the Tefillah is for, because the Tefillah, as we have it in our Masorim, is really the first and most authoritative record of how Chazal wanted to define context. And when we find Malchut Hashem in the Amidah of Rosh Hashanah, and especially in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, in the Malchuyot, and we begin to study what Malchut Hashem meant to Chazal and what it should mean to us, we find that we are actually not at all congruent in our own lives with what Chazal intended by this concept. So let's take a look at what exactly Malchut Hashem meant for Chazal, and then let's understand what it should mean for us. On the source sheets that have been distributed to you, and if you don't have the source sheet, please put your name in the chat box, and our technical support will send it to you immediately. But on the source sheets, on the first sheet, you'll see I've quoted for you here the text of the Malchuyot from the Machzor Rosh Hashanah Musaf. And it begins, of course, with Aleinu. Aleinu l'shabeach la'adon hakol, v'tet kilula l'yotzer breshit. Why are we to praise the master of all? We to give, to ascribe greatness to the one who created everything in the world. Shelo asanu kibroyei ha'aretzot, v'lo samanu kemishpachot adama, shelo sam chelkenu kahem v'goralenu k'chol amonam, shehem mishtachavim lehevo v'larik. ומתפללים אלה לא יושיע, ואנחנו משתחווים לפני מלך, מלכי המלכים, הקדוש ברוך הוא. So why are we to praise God and declare him great? Because he is great, because he is transcendent, because he is non-corporeal, because he is beyond time and space? That's not what the Tefillah says. It says the reason that we should praise Hashem is because he didn't make us like the other nations of the world or the families of the earth. He didn't put our share with them, but rather, he gave us a special faith. He didn't make us bow down to idols and to worthless images, as many of the non-Jews do, but rather, understanding of who he was, and he created a relationship with us as his people. And therefore, we should praise him. And only after the establishment of this fact, the specialness of the Jewish people, the people of Israel, does the Tefillah go on to say, Shehu noteh shamayim biyosed aretz, u'moshav yikoro b'shamayim mima'al, u'shtinat ozo b'govei meromim, hu Eloheinu ve'en od acher. And only after we establish the fact that we were chosen by God to understand him, to appreciate what his essence is, then do we say that he's transcendent and he's above all, and this is our conception. Emet Malkeinu, Efe Zulato, our king is true, and there is none beside him. Hakatub b'Torah, as it says in the Torah, V'yadata hayom v'ashevota elevabecha ki Adonai, Hu ha'elohim v'ashamayim nima'al v'yalaret mitachat enod. That Hashem, he is God, both in the heavens above and on the earth beneath, and there is no earth below, and there is no other. In other words, according to the beginning of Tfilat Malkiyot, the first thing we have to be aware of is our own identity as a special people, as a chosen nation. And out of that chosenness comes our awareness that God is special. Now this is really quite odd for the Western mind. It should be the other way around. Shouldn't we be saying God is unique, God is transcendent, God is non-corporeal, and he's chosen us? So why is it switched in the Tefillah? And then take a look at how the Tefillah continues. Al Kain, therefore, mikavelecha Hashem Eloheinu lirot mehira b'tiferet uzecha. Therefore, Hashem, we will hope that we will see quickly the beauty of your power in the world. What is this al kain? Therefore. Therefore what? Because of what shall we therefore hope? Is it because of the second half of the first paragraph, that God is transcendent and non-corporeal and above time and space? Or do we hope for God's appearance on earth, as it were, his kingdom on earth, because he didn't make us like the nations of the world, but he made us special. What is the Al Kain referring to? When we go on with the tefillah, and it says, "Letakein ulam b'malchut Shaddai," to repair the world, to fix the world with God's kingship. In other words, there's going to be an awareness among all the peoples of the world that something is actually going on here. And it doesn't seem that what this tefillah is talking about is that people will develop some kind of unbelievable spiritual awakening that God is really transcendent and non-corporeal. That doesn't seem to be what the tefillah is saying. And as we move on further, when the Malkuyot start adding additional psukim, Kakatsu b'toratecha Hashem yimloch le'olam va'ed, that Hashem will rule forever and ever, v'ne'emar, and as it said, lo hibid aven b'yakov, v'lo ara'a amal b'yisrael, Adonai Elohad imo utrat melechbo. That God saw no iniquity in the people of Yaakov, nor did he see living in vanity in the people of Israel. Hashem, his God, is with him. The God of Israel is with him. And the shofar, the sounding of the shofar of the king, is in his midst. What in the world is the thing? How is God's kingship connected to the fact that he saw no iniquity in the people of Yaakov, or vain living in the people of King, to God's essence, or to the fact that God is King, that the Jewish people have a certain standing? What connection can there possibly be? God is certainly non-corporeal, whether we are special or not, and God is certainly transcendent, whether the Jewish people have a special standing or not. So why are the two topics being tied together in the Skila? And if we go on further, Uvedivrei Kodshecha Katuv Lemor, that Hashem is the kingship and he will rule over the nations. Now, how does Hashem rule over the nations? Again, is this just a sudden awareness, a flash of light among the nations that God is really the ruler of the world? Or is there something more real going on here? And it goes on to say, Ze'ush arim roshechem, v'hinatzu pitche olam v'yavo melech hakavod. That God, as it were, as the King of Glory, enters the under gates of a city or a gates of an institution of some sort, and there he will rule. And that then is the Melech HaKavod. And then it says, Oyedei Avadecha Hanbi'im Kasuf Lemor, that your servants, the Nevi'im, what did they say? Ko Amar Hashem Melech Yisrael, V'Goalo Hashem Tzva'ot, Ani Rishon, V'Ani Acharon, Mibiladai Ein Elohim. Again, what is the first identification here? God as King of the world? No. God is King of Israel. And he's the Redeemer of Israel. And then, as the Redeemer of Israel, as the King of Israel, God says, I am the first and I am the last and there is none other beside me. In other words, again we find that the theological statement about God's essence follows the national statement about the belonging, the relationship between God and the Jewish people. And this is completely counterintuitive in the Western spiritual model. When will it be that God will have the kingship? When Moshiim, when the saviors of the Jewish people, when the leaders of the Jewish people rise up on Har Tzion to judge Har Esav, to judge, as it were, the kingdom of Esav. And Esav is understood by Chazal always to refer to Edom, that is, to the Western civilization. What is going on here? There, underlying all of these verses, there is a connection between the kingship of God and the status of the people of Israel and their position in Har Tzion, their position in Israel. And it goes on to say, at the end, Uvetoratcha Adonai Eloheinu Kasuv Lemor, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Here, now, Shema Yisrael is referring to the nation of Israel. But the nation of Israel shall understand that God is one. Again, the intimate connection between the nation of Israel and the oneness of God. Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, the concluding prayer of the Malchuyot, Meloch al kol ha'olam kulo b'chodecha, hinaseo kol ha'aretz b'yekarecha, v'hofa v'hadar ge'on uzecha al kol yoshvei tevel artecha. and which means that God should, as it were, rule over the world in all of his glory. He should be lifted up over all the earth in his splendor. And then it says, Hofa dehadar geonodecha, appear. You should appear before us in the beauty of your strength. What does that mean, appear before us? Hofa? That God should appear? This is completely against everything we think of as the non-corporeality of God. What is the tefillah asking for? Al kol yoshrei tevel artecha, that your appearance should be clear to all those who live in the world. Ve'yeda kol pa'ul kiatap yalso, yavin kol yasur kiata yitzarto. Ve'omar kol asher nishama v'yafo Adonai Elohei Yisrael melech. U'malchuto v'kol mashala. That all that lives, all that breathes, will know that the God of Israel is king, and his kingship is over everything. What does it matter that he's God of Israel? His kingship is over the world, apparently, despite the fact, or completely unconnected to the fact, that Israel is connected to him. And I think that we need to realize here that what the Tefillah is trying to tell us is that there really is a very intimate connection between the ability of God to be recognized as king in the world and the presence of Am Yisrael in the world and its stature in the fulfillment of its mission. And if we want to really understand what the Tefillah is saying in Malchiyot, then we need to look at how the Amidah itself introduces Malchiyot, because it presents a three-stage description of how our spiritual aspirations will become real. And it's said in virtually all the Amidot of Rosh Hashanah. As Yisrael suggests, a king needs subjects. But it's not just a king needing his subjects, Yisrael. It's not that we're only his subjects. We're much more than his subjects, as we're going to see. If you look on the second page of the sources, you'll see what is this three-stage description of our spirit, of how our spiritual aspirations become real. It starts, Uvachin ten pachtecha, Adonai Eloheinu al kol ma'asecha. Hashem, put the awe, the fear of yourself over all of your deeds, all of your works. Ve'ematcha al kol ma'ashevoracha, and put the fear of you over everything you've created. In other words, an emotional attachment, an emotional awareness of God's kinship should fill the world. It should not just be some theological concept. It should actually grip them emotionally. All that you have made will be in awe of you, and they will bow down to you, everything that has been created. We know that the power, the rule, is yours, God. Okay? And Richard asks, does God need? Now, of course, when we talk about God needing, we're talking symbolically. But on a symbolic level, the answer is, yes, he does. He needs Am Yisrael in the same way that Am Yisrael needs him. How does this work its way out? We're going to see in a few minutes. But the stage one here that is represented at the beginning of the Tefillah, before Malchuyot, is that what's going to happen is there's going to be an emotional upheaval in the nations of the world that will bring them to awe of God. What will that be? Look at number two. Uvachin ten kavod le'amecha. Tehilah liyurecha. Tikva tova ledorshecha. Ufit chompel l'myachalim lach. Simcha liyartecha. Sason liyurecha. Utsmichat keren ledavid avdecha. Ve'arichat ner leven yishai nishichecha b'mhera v'yaminu. This is unbelievable. This second phrase says, how will this happen? How do we want the world to have this emotional upheaval that will bring them to the awareness of the existence of God? Give honor to your people. Give praise. Bring praise to those who fear you. A good hope to those who seek you. And to those who wait for you. How? Simcha le'artecha. Give happiness to your land, to the land of Israel. Sason le'irecha. And joy to your city, to the city of Yerushalayim. And cause the David, your servant, that is the Mashiach, to sprout, and so that the son of Yishai, your Mashiach, will come speedily in our day. Now, what in the world Does that have to do with believing that God is king over the whole world? Does that have anything to do with his non-corporeality, with his transcendence over time and space? It sounds here like a national prayer. Sounds like something that's restricted to the land of Israel, the nation of Israel. What is going on here? Not at all what I would expect from the universality of Rosh Hashanah, where God is proclaimed to be king over the whole world. And step three, uvechein, and when this happens, when you give simcha le'artecha, the sason le'irecha, then tzadikim yir'u v'yismachu, the righteous will see it, and they will be pleased, they'll be happy. V'yisharim la'alozu, and those who are straight apart will rejoice. Chassidim v'rina yagilu, and the chassidim, the righteous people, will just rejoice in song. Why? Because what will happen then is that all of the evil will pass from the world. Kitavir memshevet zadon min haaretz, that those who have ruled the world with deceit and corruption will pass from the world, and what will happen then? Then there will be a proper government in the world, a government of justice, a government of truth, a government of righteousness, a government that fears God. In other words, what we are praying for here in Malchuyot, on Rosh Hashanah in general, is not that people should become aware of some philosophical construct, that God is one and he's non-corporeal and he's transcendent. That's not what we're praying for here. That's an obvious thing. What we're praying for at Rosh Hashanah is that the Malchut Hashem, that God's kingship, should not be just ethereal. God's kingship should be on earth. It should be here, as the Hasidim say, "Betoch asarat fachin," within the 10 handbreadths of earth. It should be really in the physical world in every respect. Now, how can God's kingship be in the physical world? How do we take a non-corporeal God, a transcendent God, a God outside of time and space, and ask him to be a king in the physical world? Now this concept, of course, was completely misunderstood by Christianity. Christianity understood this concept to mean that God, as it were, would physically appear on earth, God forbid, 100 times, that's idol worship, and they established in the 3rd or 4th century, as Christianity developed as its own religion, as an admixture of idolatrous Hellenistic civilization into Jewish culture, and they took upon themselves the belief in a human being as the presence of God on earth. And this is absolute idolatry. And all great scholars of Judaism saw Christianity as idolatry from its very beginning. And therefore, it's far from what any Jew would ever consider. But yet, here in our Tfilot, we are asking for a God, for God to appear as king in the world, in a physical kingship, not just in a spiritual concept. And you know that the Gaonim say that the first reason for blowing the shofar is lahamlich et Hashem kamelech, to make Hashem king, the way that you blow horns and trumpets before a king when he enters the world. And it's not just symbolic, my friend. It's not just that by blowing the shofar, it's as if we're saying that God is king. No, that is nothing, it's not as if at all. It's real. It means we're blowing the shofar because we are expecting an actual kingship, an actual government on earth to take power, and that this government will represent God on earth. That's what we're praying for. We don't have to pray to establish that God is one. Any imbecile that thinks about the world knows that God is one. Now, when David Saul asked, but how on earth will this happen in today's time? And why didn't it happen until today? And how do we, the Am Yisrael, have a hand in this process? That's exactly the question to do. That's exactly what we're trying to understand here. And when Richard asked before, how does a perfect being need something? We're not talking here about what we call in Jewish philosophy the Atzmut HaBoreh, the actual essence of the Creator. That's beyond anything we can talk about. We're talking about how, as it were, how we perceive God in the world. A human being has to perceive with his senses, not just think of, even when we think about something, we're really thinking about it in terms of what our senses can draw for us. And therefore, the issue of the spiritual nature of the essence of God is not a relevant question for the average human being. The average human being wants to know, how does the existence of God make a difference in my day-to-day life? How does the existence of God make a difference in this terribly corrupt and broken world in which we live? What are we going to do about that? And therefore, in order to understand this question, to understand, as David Saul from Brooklyn puts it, how on earth will this happen in today's time? And why didn't it happen until today? And how do we, the Am Yisrael, have a hand in this process? We have to study another set of sources, which I bring for you on the bottom of the second page. Because when we understand them, all this whole picture will open up and become clear to us, and the Tfilot of Rosh Hashanah will carry a meaning that maybe they've never had for us before. Let's take a look on the bottom. We'll start with a pasuk from Bamidbar, from Parashat Matzei. There, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us how critical it is that we keep the mitzvot when we go into the land of Israel. Because we go into the land of Israel, as His chosen people, we're going to be setting up a country there, and if we don't observe the mitzvot, we're going to cause impurity to the land. And the pasuk says, "V'lo titameh et ha'aretz asher atem yoshvim ba." Do not impurify the land on which you dwell, asher ani shochein, upon which I, that is God, dwell, ki ani Hashem shochein b'tzoch b'nei Israel, because I am Hashem who dwells among the people of Israel. Now, if you look at the syntax of that verse, you'll see that it's very, very difficult. What does it mean, don't, that I'm dwelling in? What does that mean? That you're dwelling in, that I'm dwelling in. And notice it doesn't use the same term. Asher atem yoshvim ba, that you're living in. Asher ani shochein ba, that I am dwelling in. Two different verbs almost the same context. And then it says, I am Hashem who dwells among the people of Israel. Now, when Rashi looks at this pasuk, look what Rashi understood. Asher ani shochein betocha, the land in which I, God, dwell, he comments, shelo tashkinu oti betumata. Because if you impurify the land, you're going to be causing me, God, to dwell in that impurity. You would be causing God to dwell in impurity. What is Rashi talking about? God doesn't physically dwell in the land. Physically dwell? And if the land is impurity and impurity, our concepts result from contact with the physical world, with parts of the physical world, with death or with dead animals or with other sources of impurity. What does that have to do with God? God will dwell in the impurity? What does this have to do with anything? And then there's also parallelism, as Yoel Beauregard says from Berkeley, between the land and the Jewish people. Ki ani Hashem shochein betoch b'nei Yisrael. Rashi says, af bezman she'en tmeim, shechina b'nei. That even when Am Yisrael are tamei, God dwells among them. And therefore, God will end up dwelling in the impurity that you create in the land of Israel. When I read this pasuk, I was thinking about it for days. I don't understand what the pasuk is saying. God is not physical. What does it mean he's going to dwell in the impurity of Am Yisrael, the impurity created by Am Yisrael by not following the mitzvot? And by the way, the greatest source of tumah is avera, is sin. If you look at the writings of Rav Soloveitchik, Ala Tshuva, he describes how avira creates tuma and tshuva creates tara. That when we create impurity, God is going to dwell in that impurity? What exactly does this mean? And then, Rabotai, I saw the mitzvah. Naftali Yehuda Berlin, the Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin, was one of the great and outstanding luminaries of the period of the Achronim. He just towers over the entire period of the Achronim. He, by the way, was the Rav HaMupak of Rav Kook, Moreno Rabbeinu, and Rav Kook's Torah takes to fulfillment what he learned from the Nitziv. And when I read the Nitziv on this pasuk, I felt like I had been hit on the head with a brick. Take a look at this Nitziv. See what he says here. The Nitziv says, Lichora, apparently, Tishlama Galut Hashchina, Muvan, Vita'amo, Tehashchina, En Yechula, Liyot Bemakom Tuma. I can understand how it is that if the Shechina has to exile itself from the land of Israel because it can't dwell in impurity, so it has to leave Eretz Yisrael, as it were. Again, these are physical terminologies. It's hard to understand at the beginning what the Nesid is talking about. So you get to the end of what he says. Aval Galut Yisrael Amai, but why should Israel have to be exiled because the land is impure? Why, Israel can't live in impurity? A human being cannot exist impure? Of course we can. If the Nesid is suggesting, as it were, that when God says to Am Yisrael, don't defile the land that you're living in, Am Yisrael would turn to Hashem and say, what do you care? If it's my land and I'm dwelling in it, I'll do with it as I please. And then God says, Asher ani shochein betocha. No, you can't do with it as you please because I'm also dwelling there. To which Hashem should be able to get an answer from Am Yisrael. So then leave. If you don't like the way we're doing things in Eretz Yisrael and you don't want to be in Tuma, so go. We'll stay here in the Tuma. Thank you very much. To which God responds, I can't do this. Ki ani shochein betoch b'nei Yisrael. I live, my Shechina is in Am Yisrael. And if I have to leave Eretz Yisrael because I can't live in Tuma, you have to leave as well. There is no existence for the Shechina in the world outside of Am Yisrael. And the Tzid goes on to say, Al kein mivayera katuv ha-ta'am ki ani Hashem shochein betoch b'nei Yisrael. Ein shchinati ba'olam, rak bekerav Yisrael. My shchin is not in the world except among Am Yisrael. U'me'achar shalo u'chal ishkon kavod be'eretz Yisrael b'pnei atuma. And if it comes to pass that I cannot dwell in the land of Israel because of its impurity, mu'chrach ani liyot goleh l'chutz la'aretz, and I, the shchinah, will have to leave Eretz Yisrael because of the tuma. Mu'chrach ani l'hamshich ikar yeshivat Yisrael acharai kidei she'eshkon b'kobam b'chutz la'aretz. Then I will have to drag you outside of Eretz Yisrael so I can continue to live among you because I can't be separated from you. The love relationship between God and the Jewish people is so intense that if God must leave Eretz Yisrael because of the impurity, Am Yisrael has to leave as well. One does not exist without the other. There can be no Chatan without a Kala. There can be no Shechina without Am Yisrael. U'mimeila lamadnu, says the Nesid. Shashkinah bekerub Yisrael afilu bechusal haaretz. That the Shekhinah dwells among the people of Israel even outside the land. Now what exactly does this mean, Rabotai? This means, and I hope you're all sitting down, what the Netziv is trying to say is that we, of course, cannot see God himself in the world. God is non-corporeal and he's transcendent. But the Shekhinah, God's presence in the world, as it were, the laser beam of his presence in the world, the way that God expressed himself in the world, the Shechina, the part that dwells in the world, that is, my friend, Am Yisrael. Not that in some vague and ethereal way, God's presence is floating around the world. God's presence in the world is Am Yisrael. When God chose Avraham Avinu, not because Avraham Avinu was better than anyone else, he could have chosen anyone. As Rav Kook says, God did not choose Avraham because he was Avraham. He became Avraham because Hashem chose him. He could have chosen anyone. But once he chose the one he chose, the chosen one creates the chosen people, which is, as it were, the cradle and the chariot of God in the world. And when we understand that the Shekhinah in the world is Am Yisrael, then it's understandable why it is that the Shekhinah and Am Yisrael have to always be together. If the Shekhinah must leave Am Yisrael because of Tuma, Am Yisrael must leave. If Am Yisrael comes back to Eretz Yisrael, the Shekhinah returns to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, when we talk about Malchut Hashem, the kingship of Hashem, When I ask, what on earth is Malchut Hashem? What on earth is Malchut Hashem? The answer is, the Malchut of Hashem on earth is Am Yisrael. The existence of Am Yisrael, the perseverance of Am Yisrael through all the desire of the nations of the world to destroy it. Why is Am Yisrael indestructible? Because it's the Shekhinah. And the Shekhinah is indestructible. Why is it that, and I'm not talking here about when I say Am Yisrael, I'm not speaking about individual Jews. That would be racism. I'm not talking even about the nation of Israel as it appears before us, whether in a state or whether in the collection of the individuals in the world. Not at all. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm talking about Knesset Israel, the concept of a chosen people in the world, the as it were, what Kant would have called the noumenon of Am Yisrael, not the phenomenon of Am Yisrael, but the noumenon, the concept of Am Yisrael in the world, that there exists a chosen people which carries God within it, carries God's presence within it, and declares God's presence to the world by its own presence. That is the seat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchut on earth. Now, Richard is saying, but the text states that God blessed Abraham because he follows the commandments of Hashem by performing justice and instructing his children in the ways of God. No, it doesn't say that. It says that God, when we talk about God blessing Abraham, we're talking about the Atzmut. But when he blesses Abraham, and Abraham then commands his children to follow the mitzvot and believe in God, a nation is created which is the representation of the Shekhinah. And when Yoel says, but what about Rambam on Avraham Avinu's unique journey, and that was why God spoke to him, isn't that the germ of the Numenon? Yes, it is, of course, the germ of the Numenon. But that germ of the Numenon in Avraham becomes Am Yisrael. And Am Yisrael thereby carries with it, within it, the eternality, the sense of eternality, the actual eternality that God put among us, in us, when he gave us the status of Am Sfura. Now, I want to get back to what we originally asked about the Tfilah of Rosh Hashanah. If you look back at the Tfilah of Rosh Hashanah, you'll see that it's not, the davening is not calling for recognition of God as king, or God as one. That's just obvious. Only an idolater would think otherwise. Any intelligent, cultured person knows that there's only one God. I mean, I remember once when I traveled to Hong Kong and I was waiting to fly to Australia, and I went into a store in the Hong Kong duty-free shop to buy an international radio so I could listen to Israeli news when I was in Kutzbarit. And the dealer said to me, sir, what is that hat on your head? And I said, it's called a kippah. He said, why do you wear it? And I said, to demonstrate that I believe in God. So he looked at me, and in all seriousness, he said, which one? And I said, the one God who made the heavens and the earth, the only God. He said, only one God? That's too bad. And when I looked at him, I realized, here I was standing before the essence of why HaKadosh Baruch created Am Yisrael in the first place, is so that we would travel the world, come in contact with the rest of the world, not be collected only and concerned only for ourselves, but a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh that would influence the rest of the world to understand that it's not too bad that there's only one God. It's bad that one thinks that there's more than one God. And that it's our job to bring Malchut Hashem onto earth. How do we bring Malchut Hashem onto earth? By creating ourselves, in Eretz Yisrael, a nation which is Malchut Hashem. That's how we do it. Simcha li'artecha v'tason li'irecha u'smichat keren leven David avecha v'arichat ner leven Yishai v'shichecha v'mhera v'yameinu. That's how we create Malchut Hashem. By bringing joy to our land and happiness to God's city of Yerushalayim and making a place for the Mashiach ben David. Because when Mashiach ben David comes, we will not have corruption in government and lack of truth and justice in the judicial system. But we will have a nation which will be a Malchut Hashem, with a government which will demonstrate what Malchut Hashem can create. And from that Malchut Hashem, the world will see it and they'll say, Wow! That is Malchut Hashem! That is what Hashem is. If this can be created among human beings, then that's what we all want. And that by looking at us, the world will know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is King. How do we accomplish this? The first thing that has to happen is every individual, every Jew, has to begin within himself realizing that that's what Malchut Hashem is. Malchut Hashem doesn't mean that I sit in Brooklyn, or in Toronto, or in Los Angeles, or any other place around the world, and I realize and I, on a philosophical level, that there's such a thing as God. What we're talking about is that wherever I am in the world, I know that my role as a Jew is to contribute to the creation of a real Malchut Hashem in the world. It's a national task, here in Israel, and God willing with all the Jews around the world that will come to join us here, is that we're attempting to create a Malchut Hashem. We're still very, very far away from it, of course, very far away in virtually every area, but that is what we're attempting to do, is create a Malchut Hashem here with Klal Yisrael, bring the Shekhinah home, so the Malchut Hashem can be here, and from this Malchut Hashem we can have influence on Umot HaOlam, and then we will create what it says in the Malchuyot. Al kein nekaveh lach Hashem Eloheinu lirot meherah b'tiferet uzecha l'taken olam b'malchut shalai v'chol b'nei basar yikru v'shmecha v'afnot elecha kol yishei aretz. And when we blow the shofar, we are calling Jews home. We're saying, the king is coming. The Malchut Hashem is being set up. The city is being rebuilt. The nation is coming back together. Come, be part of this. Join us here. Be part of creating the Malchut Hashem, the Taken Olam Malchut Shaddai. And that when we do that, then Hasidim Yagilu, Tzadikim Yiru V'Yismachu, and the world will self-actualize to what it was supposed to have been from the very beginning. This is what on earth is Malchut Hashem. Am Yisrael, the Eretz Yisrael, the Pitorach Yisrael. That is Malchut Hashem on earth. U'mherav yameinu. Are there questions, my friends? Written questions or oral questions? Bill says we are supposed to be a nesavim, and we are supposed to be a Nes Lagoyim, and that is to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, and that is our role. We hope that establishes Malchut Shamayim, and the world is a better place. Yes, I would agree with you, Bill, but not quite as conceptual. Much more corporeal, that we're supposed to be a Nes Lagoyim, and we're supposed to set up here, in Eretz Yisrael, a Malchut Hashem, which will then impress upon the nations of the world what can really be accomplished. And Israel is asking, make the statement that Avram became who he was because he was chosen by Hashem. Yes, Hashem didn't choose him because he was Avram. He became Avram because Hashem chose him. That's right. It was the Bechira, it was the selection of Avram and the insertion into Avram of the Skula, of the Bracha and the Skula by Hashem that made him special, that he could create from him an Am Yisrael. That's exactly right. So Israel, if you'll please send me your email, I will send you back the citation in Torah Rav Kook where he says that. Please send me your email. Okay. Rachel Buckman. Thanks for the shiur. You're very welcome. It's always a pleasure. I wish you all a tivah v'chatima tuvah. And this year, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will have a Malchut Hashem. So David thought that so sad some people took Pirkel's idea of building a Jewish land in Uganda, New York City or Los Angeles. That's right. It's really, it's all the same concept. But Be'ezrat Hashem, this year will be the year. And we'll see you all in Eretz Yisrael. Kol Tuv, have a good day, a good week, a good year, and we'll see you after Sukkot on the E-Team Broadcasting Network. So long, and goodbye from Elkanah and Yishamron.
We hope you found this recording a most enjoyable learning experience. We welcome your feedback. Please contact us at info@torahinmotion.org or at www.torahinmotion.org. Have a great day. Thank you.